For today's class, for today and next week, Lord willing, Luke asked me to go through a two-part class of setting goals, and with a spiritual overtone to that, in the importance for us. By the way, let's all move forward, shall we? We forgot. Everyone kind of move up so we can all be together. We don't want to stop our tradition. Moving on up. So while we're relocating, by a show of hands, who would say they're a goal setter here today? Any goal setters? Who's a goal setter here? Who thinks of themselves as a goal setter? Just to set a goal. Okay? All right, that's way more than what I anticipated. All right, so how many would you say that you've set a goal in your life just once? Or attempted to set a goal? Okay? All right? So, how many here have never set a goal and wouldn't even know where to start if you wanted to? Did everyone raise their hand in that mix? Okay. Okay. Here's a tough one. How many of you would like to be goal setters? Come on. Seriously? All right. What was that? We'll revisit this question at the end of the class. So, here's another way of posing that. How many of us would like to be more efficient with our time and more organized? Okay. There we have it. Well, I have to admit, most of my life, I hadn't been a goal setter. I haven't been real organized or planned things out previously in my life. And even though at some point I knew that it was important in order to be organized and in order to have a plan, I knew that I needed to do that. And, you know, I'm sure at that time I thought that I set goals and I thought that I knew the importance and how to do that, but I really didn't, and I couldn't, because I didn't have the tools. But later in life, having a career in sales, I was forced to take a goal setting class and a planning class to be organized. And so I learned how to set goals and to plan my day, at least according to the world of sales and their standards and strategies. But of course it was always tied to work-related or work-connected goals and planning according to the company's goals. So, but it gave me a pretty good basis on which to build from. So now, many years removed from that, I met a guy by the name of Jay Wilson. Many of you know him. And I read a book that he wrote called Cleansing of the Inside of the Cup. And in that book are many useful spiritual concepts, one of which is how to set goals and to plan effectively. And I really thought that I had a good grasp on setting goals until I read that book. So if you haven't read that book, I would really encourage you to do that. Not just for the teaching on setting spiritual goals and the importance of using our time wisely, which is a scriptural command, by the way. I learned how in that book to properly set goals and how to achieve them with a proper view to the spiritual side of things. So I know a lot of us are sitting here today thinking, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. I never have been. I've never been organized. I've never planned. And I probably will never be. And I know how you feel. I've said things like that myself in other facets of my life about other issues. And it's our uncanny ability to justify staying in our comfort zones is amazing. I'm not that way. I wasn't raised that way. That's not me. Let me ask you a question. Do we have the Spirit of God in us? Yeah. Why do we have the Spirit of God? To be new. To walk in newness of life, right? We can learn anything we want to learn. So when I was thinking of this about myself and reflecting on my situation, I thought of one word. Repent. Change the way I think. Look, if I'm not able to make changes that I need to be a better warrior for Christ, what's the point? We can do anything we set our minds to. The real trouble is, or the real question is, do I understand how important this is? It's very important. It's a scriptural command. Look, I'm not talking about something like preaching. We're talking about a very learnable concept that will vastly improve our lives and our walk in Christ. All of us can stand to be a little more organized. So what we look at today is what gets measured improves. The opposite of that is very true also. If you don't measure your progress, you're more than likely going to be going backwards. So we'll talk about some of that. So we can and should learn to make the most of our time with every day that we're given. In fact, it is a spiritual command, as I said. Now, again, not all of us are teachers, but we are all students, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We can learn more. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Okay? We just have to be willing to be teachable. So the scriptural command to make the most of our time. Jesus himself, when he was confronted by the disciples in John chapter 11 that we looked at recently in verse 8, said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered in verse 9, excuse me, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. The encouragement and command here is that there's 12 hours a day. Get to work. I know this crowd is full of really good hard workers. We can still excel more, can't we? Some of us need to work on this a little bit more than others. Myself included. Work hard. Make the most of your time. I am talking to myself the most here. I need to make better use of my time. Ephesians 5 verse 15. Therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Listen, if we're going to overcome all that this world throws at us and be wise and calculating people and people of action and not reaction, we have to direct our lives. We have to plan our lives. And Scripture says that when we do that, He'll guide our steps. I'll tell you another thing. If we don't direct our lives, what do you think's going to direct it? The world around us, the things that we just default in our experiences. There are too many directions from the world that we don't want to go down. So don't get me wrong, moving is better than not moving, okay? Just being static, but it's not enough to merely be moving. There's an old saying that to work smarter, not harder, you'll get twice as much accomplished. Because you don't usually have to go back and redo something you did wrong, right? Rather than just rushing out there and starting the work, think about it first, in other words. A little planning goes a long ways. Okay, so let's talk about the some groundwork and definitions for goal setting and planning. The things that we comprehend in our lives and in our day-to-day actions comes to us by three processes: observation, reason, and revelation. Okay? And in this day and age, typically referred to as the postmodern era, all three of these facets of knowledge are being attacked and scrutinized. People will say something like, no one can observe anything with 100% certainty. Ever heard that? Or how about, people reason differently and no one conclusion is better than the other. If there is a God, however you think he speaks to you is fine. Do your thing and let us do ours, says the rationalizers. You ever heard that one? Yeah. So, refuting the existence of absolutes, these three modern monkeys, if you will, of ignorance claim to see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. But for those who refuse to be carried along these winds of insanity, and it is insanity, these three, observation, reason, and revelation, it stands as the means by which anyone can establish a framework for reality. What do you observe? What is your reasoning behind what you observe? By objective observation and clear reasoning, we can understand this physical realm around us. Think, reason. These are scriptural premises, aren't they? But there's one problem. Observation and reason alone cannot penetrate the spiritual realm. And so we find the need for the revelation of God, and we have it. It's called the Bible, right? It's God's communication to man. And it's the means by which we become aware of spiritual truths and realities. So those are the three main things that we understand the surroundings around us, seen or unseen. But by and large, much of about time management can be learned from simple observation and reason. Most of us know when we have things we need to get done. We don't need anyone to tell us. We don't need a list, right? Observation and reason. The trash needs to go out because it stinks in here, right? The baby's diaper needs changed because it stinks in here. Observation, reason. Okay, I didn't need revelation from God on that. I had have a nose and the wife. Thankfully, she changed the poopy ones because I can't. I need to repent, right? And so, observation and reason. The inhabitants of the world, mankind, individuals who intend to be productive, and who strive to resist relativism can understand and develop good habits for the well use of their time. You can do it. Will it take some effort? Yes, but it's worth it, as we're going to look at. So, as long as the sun still shines and sets on both good and evil, the same principles apply to the Christian and the non-Christian alike. Part of what the scriptures give us concentrates on helping the saint to develop a strong spiritual underlining purpose And that is, make the most of my time. Make the most of my time and how I use my time can be determined, again, by reason and observation and the revelation of from God. Make the most of your time. This is definitely a scriptural premise. If we're going to be maximize our efforts for the kingdom, we better be able to use our time wisely, right? Yes. Shake your heads. Yes. It's a true statement. Okay. So, much of these concepts, therefore, have been obtained through reason and observation of men throughout history. And with effort made to be sure that it is consistent with the teaching of the New Testament, we can follow those observations and reasonings, as long as it doesn't contradict the New Testament teaching. So, in this first section, we'll cover goals first, and then activities. Goals, by definition, are specific objectives or results, while activities are specific actions which needs to be arranged step by step in a manner so that time is managed effectively and goals are accomplished on time. Larry had a good point. I set goals. Did you ask, did I achieve those? Or what point is it to have a goal if you're not going to try to achieve it? And there has to be some specifics attached to it. Okay? Specific objectives and results. So, the importance of goals. The importance of goals in the life of the brethren cannot be overstated. It's someone once jokingly said, I didn't set any goals last week and I achieved it. How many have been in that boat? Without goals, the individual spins like a weather vane, very busy and going nowhere. You ever done that? Just be busy just to be busy? And then you have to backtrack a little ways? It helps to have a plan of attack. Goals provide direction and meaning for activity. Imagine this. Imagine a boys' soccer game, okay? And in this game, there are no goals at either end of the field. Imagine that. No goals. What kind of game would that be? Would it be a game at all? Because you see, without goals, there's no direction in which to kick the ball, right? Without scores, the game is pointless. You're just running around kicking a ball. The same principle applies to all aspects of our lives. Without goals, there is no direction, and without some way of keeping score, life is aimless and pointless. Ever been there? Feel like you're just wandering aimlessly without a plan? It's not a fun feeling. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gives us a great example of what we're talking about here. In verse 26, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. Run as so as not without aim, he says. It's pretty important to have direction, don't you think? What is it when we're trying to accomplish a plan without any direction? Why have a plan? It's just aimless. Goals tend to intensify activity and increase efficiency. I'm going to say that again. Goals tend to intensify activity and increase efficiency. Remember, what gets measured improves, right? How do you know where you're at without goals? When a professional football team has less than 2 minutes left in a game and they're down, they're losing, they go into something that they call a two-minute drill. They practice this a lot. They know every team member on that field knows exactly what they need to do in their part and how to execute it. And as a team, they are operating in a highly intensified activity. And the goal is clear, not only to the team, but to the fans. There's a very specific plan. With the game on the line, the level of activity for the whole team really intensifies, right? Again, this example illustrates the great principle of life. Goals intensify activity and increase efficiency. Think about that in our lives. When you have a plan and you work in the plan and you have a strategy for what needs to be done, doesn't that really intensify your working in that plan? Yeah. More gets done when there's a plan. It's just the natural result. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it," that is salvation and resurrection from the dead. "Yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Without a fixed goal, no one presses on. You might for a while. With a clear goal and a powerful purpose, the Christian, much like Paul here, is an overwhelming conqueror. Sound familiar? Aren't we charged to be overwhelming conquerors? Yeah. Are we going to overwhelmingly conquer without a plan? No. Hey, I'm with you. For many years, I thought I was setting goals. I wasn't. They were good intentions. That's all they were. Without all of the things in line, that's all it amounts to be is good intentions. We have to have an organized strategy.
That word discipline there, I looked it up. And it looks pretty serious because it actually says the blackening of the eye. So that's a kind of a bruising of the body. It means it's a, like you said, it's not a good intention. It's almost like a life or death type thing. So it's very, very serious.
It's very serious and it's very directed. Yeah.
You know, it's when you drive a car, if you let go of the wheel and close your eyes, will you stay on the road? No, you drive off the road. I mean, and it's like the way in life, you know, if you don't have a fixed point that you're focused on, you won't stay on the road. You won't stay any sort of path. You're not going to accidentally make it to heaven just by, you know, you're not going to accidentally, you know, accomplish what you need to at work or what anything you want really want to put in. It just doesn't happen by accident. If we put forth zero effort, we will definitely not accomplish anything.
Right. Yep. That's a great point. What gets measured improves. What doesn't get measured doesn't improve. In fact, it goes backwards. So, goals are important, right? Everyone agree? Okay, good. We're getting somewhere. So the nature of goals. In order to be effective, goals need to be specific, right? An indefinite, vague, and unspecified goal really is not a goal. It's a good intention. As I As I thought back to time when I considered myself a goal setter, I realized this one little facet of goal setting, and I realized really where I was. And that was not a goal setter. I was one with lots of good intentions. They have to be specific. If I said, for example, I hope to get started reading in the Bible sometime soon, is that a goal or a good intention? That's a good intention. But that's it. What if I said, my goal is to read the entire New Testament? Is that a goal? Yeah, it's a goal. It's a little incomplete, but it's a goal. It's specified, isn't it? So now, if you're like me, even though you have a specific goal, without a timeline, without a date attached to that, I could be working on that till I die. It's just, I just know me. Oh, I'll work harder on that tomorrow. Or I'll get to that next Saturday. Then I'm really going to work on it. Watch out. No, it has to have a specific time frame. In order for a goal to be achievable, it has to have a time frame. My goal is to read the New Testament by the end of the entire New Testament by the end of the month. Now, is that specific? Does it have a timeline? Yes. Without the specific time set as part of the goal, it's open-ended, isn't it? Are we going to work hard to achieve that? No finish line. It has to have a timeline. Even Paul's statement that his goal was to obtain to the resurrection of life was time-specific, in that it was will require his faithfulness until the end of his physical life. It had a timeline. So, we'll get to a question.
Even on your timeline, if you got an end date, you also got to have a start date, or else you'll never get started and you'll never be able to accomplish your goals.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Yeah, we have to have a point to start and a point to finish. Very good point. So some goals are more difficult to define than others. Ever had that problem? Goals that have a certain physical and measurable element can be defined clearly. Mental and attitude goals, not so much. Are they still viable, good goals? Yeah, definitely, but they just require a little more work. One of the appeals of sports is that its goals during the game time are very specific and observable, right? And excitable. As previously mentioned, the scores are recorded and generally very visible, and the amount of time left is viewed by all, typically. And both spectators and players have a clear picture of what needs to be accomplished. And for some fans, the hope is really super elevated, right? Even long-term goals, such as placing in the upper in the upper half of their conference, for example, or winning the league championship, are specifically defined. They're much harder to work through and to organize, but they are very specifically defined. And everyone has to be aware of the goal and understand the goal, don't they? And they have to understand, everyone involved has to understand the timeline. Yeah, we're down 6 points and there's 2 minutes left. You understand that, right? Everyone on the team understands that, if you've ever seen that play out. But mental goals and attitude goals are difficult. Here's an example. The goal of changing the attitude of a team from being a bunch of backbiting, excuse-making losers to a positive, winning spirit can be difficult. How do you quantify that? How do you specify that? It's difficult to define in concrete terms. This type of goal requires some real creativity, doesn't it? To be broken down into clear and measurable components. Those are short-term goals within a long-term goal. A bunch of short-term goals will get you to your long-term goal. And they have each short-term goal has very specific activities. And we'll get to that next week. But failure to do this leaves it as a good intention. Again, we'd like to have better winning attitudes on this team. Okay? Great. How are you going to do that? Without the measurable components and without the good, clear definition of the goal, it's rarely accomplished, if ever. Everyone on the team has to have that same understanding, the clear definition of the goal. All right, so goals cease to be goals also if they aren't perceived as achievable. Goals have to be achievable. Jay says that they should be bite-sized and achievable goals. What does that mean? Bite-sized, small. Start off small. I want to read the entire New Testament by the end of the month. Bite-sized goal. I want to memorize the entire New Testament by the end of the month. Achievable? Bite-sizable? No. We have to know where we're at in order to set achievable goals. So, a goal that is unachievable, again, it really is not a goal. It's like a mythical character. It's not real.
Basically, they got to be realistic. They can't be too far-fetched. Otherwise, you're not even going to try.
Yeah. In the effort to justify myself, knowing that I need to set a goal, and I set one way beyond my capabilities, am I going to shoot for that? No. It has to be attainable. It's a mere attempt at self-justification. Maybe a good intention, not a goal. So one of the dangers for a Christian then is, as we know from Scripture, is the potential for self-delusion. One spiritual warning that we're very familiar in this congregation comes from James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. One of the means by which an individual may delude himself is by setting a lofty scriptural goal which are currently well beyond his reach. Because inwardly he knows that the goal is currently beyond his ability. That's deluding oneself. Be honest with where you're at. That's important. And because of that, he sees that goal is completely beyond his capabilities. He doesn't even make an effort to achieve the goal. If you don't think you can win a game, are you going to play the game? You have no chance? No. You're not even going to participate. Hear of the word and not a doer. Deluded. We need to be honest with where we're at, what our capabilities are. The key to setting an achievable goal has to start with making realistic self-examination. Are we scripturally charged to do that? Self-exam? Yeah. A component along with that? Be honest. Be honest. Where am I currently? One of the functions of God's grace is to alleviate fears. If you're fearful of not being able to accomplish something, are you going to try it? Maybe you might. Most probably won't. We're exhorted and reminded that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And because of that, we are able to, in Hebrews 4, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's a scary thing to be before your Creator as a failure. I failed. You ever do this? You ever tell fibs to other people or to yourself? Even to God? To cover a lack of performance? I have. It's a scary thing to be accountable to God for our efforts. It is. But thankfully we have grace, don't we? We have the knowledge that God's not going to crush us because we failed. He implores us to try, to make the effort. Right? Consider Adam and Eve. The hiding from God in the garden, right? Adam convinced himself that if he lies about his performance, God won't know. Did God know? Yeah. Does God know all of our failures and successes? Yeah. He does. The problem isn't that the Father has is getting... The problem is getting us to admit to our shortcomings and to be honest with our failures. That's the real trouble. Be honest with what you're capable of. Be honest with what we're capable of and not capable of. It's important in goal setting. Again, it can't be overemphasized. One of the great purposes of grace is to destroy that fear. We don't have to fear that. Because you know what? That can be a barrier between us and God. Our fear. What do we have to fear? You know what I fear? I fear not attempting something in years down the road thinking, could I have done that? I didn't even try. That's what I fear. I should have at least tried.
You're very right. Fear of failure holds most of us back from trying. But it's interesting, and I've got a link to a webpage somewhere, but most of the greatest discoveries and the greatest innovators of our time failed multiple times. Henry Ford failed multiple times. Thomas Edison failed multiple times. And the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, you kind of have to reframe and say, I didn't fail, I just learned another way not to do it, and try again, you know. But too many people give up way too easily. And we have this connotation out there that failure is bad. Failure is not bad. I would much rather have somebody fail than never try.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. We're going to talk about that coming up, too.
Acts chapter 5, the fate of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, when they sold their tract of land and kept some of the money back and then lied about it, that's the same thing as setting a goal and, you know, not achieving it but lying about it. You're not gaining anything. Be honest about it. Be truthful. Be upfront. If you missed a day, admit to it, move forward, and get back on track and shoot for the next day.
Yeah. The key point there is to keep moving forward. That's a great point. To try and fail is not the tragedy. The tragedy is when you quit. We have to keep going. So being honest with ourselves, being honest with God is just because of the confidence that we have through grace destroys that barrier. destroys the barrier so that he or she may make this real and all-important assessment of their current performance. You can't set an achievable, real goal unless you know where you're at. It's impossible. Again, as Paul pointed out in exhorting the brethren not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their minds in Romans 12. In verse 13, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Be honest with our self-assessments. That is what God wants, and that is what's required to set and achieve sound goals. Do we want to be more effective? Do we want to be more productive? Do we want to be more organized? Do we? I hope so. Because, again, without that desire, you're not going to set goals. Without that desire, you're not going to have an honest self-assessment. You won't do it. It'll be a good intention. And that's all it'll be. So honest assessment and honest accounting are synonymous. The concept of accounting brings to mind, I don't know, calculators and charts and graphs and files. As we mentioned previously, unless a goal can somehow be quantified or tracked, it isn't really a goal. There has to be an accounting. How am I doing? It has to be measurable, doesn't it? You have to be able to measure your progress. Right? The areas which need to be quantified in a goal, in the goal setting process, are the same as what are going to be measured to assess current performance. Did you get that? The areas which need to be quantified in the goal setting process are the same as what are going to be measured to assess current performance. It's the same thing. There has to be some sort of a bookkeeping, if you will, where there is a record of specific factors used in the goal setting process. You have to be able to measure and record where you're at. And this is used in sports all over the place. Just one example is weightlifting. You want to get stronger, right? Well, if you start out with being able to lift 100 pounds, and you're doing that every week, but you forget where you were at last week, how are you going to increase? You're going to guess? Oh, I think I was at 150 pounds. Yeah, when I was really at 100. What gets measured improves. We have to be able to measure it. All right, say for example, a young Christian couple operates a small business out of their home for extra income. They would like to plan to have a baby. And to pay for the expense of having the baby, they're going to hopefully save up some money in this business that they have, this home business. So first they have to obviously assess a cost to that, right? Having a new baby cost. Then they need to look at their business records, right? What kind of business have we been doing up to this date? So they look at their records. Okay? Well, in order to achieve our goal, we need to work 3 times harder in this specific area. But the problem is that they didn't have accurate records. They failed to have to create accurate record, so that what they thought they were going to be achieving was far less. And the husband, in his infinite wisdom, decided to triple their efforts in that area because they thought that area was the most profitable. And yet, every step forward, they took 2 back. Not only were they not going to meet their goal, they were getting further away from it. You see that? Without a personal assessment of where we're at, without an accurate accounting, we could be doing detriment to ourselves. We need to know where we're at in order to move forward. All right? So, next week, we're out of time. So next week we're going to talk about the activities. We'll focus in on the activities, and we're going to talk about how to implore daily lists and to prioritize, because that's important too. Are we going to, in our activities, if we just go gung-ho without having any priorities, that's going to muck things up as well. So we have to have some organization to part of this as well. So, all right, thank you.